I was producing books that were like 800 pages long. And they were 800 pages long because I had to bulletproof the arguments against the attacks of critics. And suddenly I thought, what a liberation it would be to express the extraordinary ideas that I'm interested in, but instead of expressing them in a factual book, which, you know, brings this this mass of hostility out of the woodwork, why not slip those ideas into a fantastic, fast-moving, action-paced fantasy adventure story? Particularly when the ideas are so strange that maybe no you know, so-called factual presentation of them is possible. And I suddenly realized this is incredibly liberating for me. I can write whatever I like, and if the if the academic police come pouring out of the woodwork and accuse me of misrepresenting the facts or whatever spin they want to put on it, I can just say, hey guys, relax, it's just fantasy.
Well, this one is an extraordinary story, and did you was this based on lifetime experience?
Yes, I wrote a nonfiction book called Supernatural, which looks at the origins of religion and spiritual experience in shamanistic altered states of consciousness. And while I was researching that book, because I always throw myself into the subject I'm investigating, I had to go to the Amazon and drink this powerful visionary brew that shamans use there called ayahuasca, which sends you into an absolutely seamlessly convincing parallel world and puts you into telepathic contact with extraordinary entities, often in the form of a serpent. And actually, I've now drunk ayahuasca in the Amazon more than 30 times. And it was during a series of ayahuasca sessions in Brazil. I had already changed my intent. I was already interested in the idea of writing fiction. And I asked ayahuasca, and this is what you do with ayahuasca sessions. You ask the spirit of ayahuasca to help you in a particular area of your intent. And my intent was to write a really exciting but also deep work of fiction. And that night, ayahuasca gave me an extraordinary series of visions in which I saw the two central characters of my novel, one of them a young woman in the Stone Age 24,000 years ago, and one of them a young woman today in modern Los Angeles. And because time is not what it seems, because actually all times coexist simultaneously, and the illusion of past, present, and future is exactly that, an illusion. It's possible for these two young women to become entangled, and a supernatural being indeed entangles them and conscripts them into a battle of good against evil, a battle with a demonic force, which is operating both 24,000 years ago in the Stone Age and today in the 21st century. And I was just given this whole concept with incredible vividness and power during this series of visions in the Amazon. And not only that, but I was given a very strong instruction: write this and write it now.
And you did.
That vision, that's what I've been doing.
I've got to tell you about synchronicity here, Graham. Sunday night, I was renting the DVD 2012, Roland Emmerich's blockbuster. So I'm at home watching it, and all of a sudden, up pops a hat tip to you in the book Fingerprints of the Gods. Tell me about that.
Well, it's, you know, strange. I've discovered that there are actually more lawyers than creative people in Hollywood. And because of the giant tribe of Hollywood lawyers, I'm not actually allowed to say anything about this, but I am glad to say that the credits of the film do say, inspired in part by the book Fingerprints of the Gods, Graham Hancock, and I'm grateful to Roland for being kind enough to give me that credit. I guess what happens is that Fingerprints of the Gods is the first book that puts together the the possibly dire prophecies of the Mayan calendar with the notion of Earth crust displacement, which was brought into public knowledge by Professor Charles Hapgood back in the 1960s. Fingerprints, being very much a work of synthesis, brought these two ideas for the first kind, and I can see that those two ideas are also quite central to the movie 2012.
Well, I hope you got full credit for what you, whatever you did.
I'm grateful to them for giving me a credit on the credits of the movie. It was a buzz, you know, to sit there and actually see my name on the big screen. Finally made it to Hollywood. Way.
Well, yeah, look, you deserve it. You've been on this program for years, Graham, and you're one of the best guests we have. And the book Fingerprints of the Gods, of course, has this core message that I'd like to take some time this hour just to talk about before we get into Entangled.
Yeah.
Tell us the message you're trying to give with Fingerprints of the Gods.
Well, it comes down to this. We are presented with a story of our past by academic historians and the mainstream media. And I would say, I believe that story of our past that we're taught in our schools and through the medias and in our universities, that story of our past is part of the mind control that operates in our society today. In order to control billions of people around the world, you also need to be able to control their past. True knowledge of the past can be incredibly liberating. And if you don't want a liberated population, then you want to force feed them a particular edited version of the past. And I believe that it's that particular edited version of the past that we are being given through the mainstream in modern society today. And I've made it my business for many years to provide a reasoned, well-supported, logical, and thorough alternative voice to that point of view, to say that, yes, the picture of history may be, as the academic historians tell us it is, but it may not be that way at all. It could also be very, very, very different. Here are a set of facts that the academics have interpreted one way. Here's another way to interpret those facts, which completely changes our view of history. And, you know, as you go further and further back into the past, as you get back particularly beyond 5,000 years ago, you find yourself in a period of darkness where there are no documents, no records, nothing, just flimsy, fragmentary evidence that archaeologists can dig up when they typically excavate 1 or 2% of a large site. And from this flimsy evidence, they then put together their interpretation of what the past is. And to my mind, that interpretation is not a whole lot better than a fairy story.